You guys ever watch calf roping in a rodeo? You know, the horse is backed up in the corner and the rider's, and the horse is like, that's why I've been over here. Okay, I just, man, let me up there. It has been a couple of weeks. Liz and I got to go last week and worship with Hope Town, and I got to speak over there. And then that evening, we got to go to Journey Church and enjoy a marriage conference or whatever it is. We got to sit on stage and talk about, well, we just talked to each other, and they just joined in. It was a wonderful time. So let me start by saying thank you to Scott for speaking last week. Appreciate him so much. He's actually away today speaking somewhere else, I listened to his message, awesome message on trust. If you didn't get to do that, go back. It's online, and you can be a part of that. At the end of our service, we're going to receive communion together. And with no aisles on the outside, it'll be a little awkward. So we got some of our guys are going to come down and kind of, it's semi-guided, okay? You'll release and come down, receive communion. Prayer team will be up front as well. I know Todd just mentioned it, but I just want to get that in your mind, kind of thinking about the flow of how that's going to work. And I will say one word. I'm grateful to be in a church where we have to add chairs. Come on, y'all. Isn't that good? That's good. I will say two words. One other word is inconvenience. If you feel a little inconvenienced or it's different today, and I know some of you guys got your seat mapped out, the Thorntons are sitting in the center for the first time ever, I think, right? Come on, y'all. We just took their seat out off the sides over there, right? But here's the thing. If you're not willing to be inconvenienced so we can have more people to come to hear about Jesus, then you're in the wrong business with this. It's just, you know, your focus is out of kilter. And so we don't want you just sitting and enjoying. We want you to enjoy and be a part of it. We want you to come and help us serve. Bring what God has given you in your life. And I appreciate Todd and Pam for leading Impact. It's a wonderful thing. So, all right, right to some words. Y'all ready? 4 weeks ago, we had an anointing service here. First time ever. And there's testimonies coming out of that of people being healed from physical ailments. There's testimonies coming out of people getting blessings in different ways that are just, you just can't answer those things other than God is working in their life. And so that was all new for me. It was the first time I'd ever led one of the, I didn't really lead it. I just kind of let it go and it happened. And so I'm loving hearing all the stories out of that. And so you're going to hear some of those, hopefully, publicly before long. I want to try to get some folks up here and say some words about it. And then the week after that, I just walked right into Ephesians 3. To be honest, Emily and I get together, and we put together and work with Tabitha and Children's Ministry, and we work together to kind of put sermon series together and kind of a flow. And I just texted Emily, and I said, look, I don't feel it right now. I feel like I need to preach through this. And that's always what we're going to do, whatever God leads us to do. And I just feel like God's been in it ever since we started this. I really do. People say, God showed up in the house. Well, God's omnipresent. He's already here before we get here, y'all. I mean, he just is. But what we mean by that is there is a sense of his presence. Every day I pray for his influence, his blessing, his protection, and his presence. And I said, Lord, if you took all of them away but one, just give me your presence. I like all the other stuff, but I want to be in you. I want to be with you. And the more and more I get in tune with Holy Spirit and who he is, it's just amazing how close that is. So we talked that week about being empowered by the Spirit, Jesus living in us, being moved by the love of God or rooted in the love of God so that God can do more than we can ask or imagine. I can imagine some good stuff, y'all. And he says he can do more than that. And so week before last, when I preached on a sermon called Unity and Maturity. It was actually the beginning of chapter 4 in Ephesians. It talked about how that unity and maturity, growing up in maturity, when we do that individually, automatically the church grows up. We get healthier and healthier as each of us get healthier in our relationship with him. It's one reason we have small groups. If you're not in a small group, you need to get in a small group. If you need a couple of them, let me know, or talk to Montana. Where? Oh, wait a minute. Montana's not. Where are they? Oh, she's serving today. All right, so they're usually right. I pointed right at Tanya down here. I said, anyway, y'all, the chairs are messing me up too. So here we go. But here's the thing. When we grow up in our individual selves, the church grows up, and there were two passages that just stood out in my mind. The growing up into the fullness of who God is in our life. I don't even understand what all that means, really, but I am seeking after it, looking for it. And then in chapter 4, verse 13, he says that we are to become mature in the person of who Christ is so we can live in the fullness of Christ, okay? And so all through the book of Ephesians, and really more and more I study all through the Bible itself, Guys, we cannot do this thing by ourselves. And God sent us. Jesus said, "I've got to go away so I can send Holy Spirit." And the more I read about discipleship, people are like, "We've got to go where? Where are you going? We've got to follow you." And he said, "No, you don't. You don't follow me. You're going to follow Holy Spirit." Who really was what? Who made Jesus do all the things that he did. He was full of the Spirit. He started doing those things after his baptism. Spirit came down upon him, and that's when ministry started, some crazy stuff, raising the dead kind of stuff started happening around him. And then Jesus said to his disciples, "You're going to do more than I was able to. You think cursing, I remember the fig tree, he said, you're going to die, you know, and then the next day they walked by and it was dead. And Jesus said, you're amazed at that, but you're going to do greater things than that. You're going to do greater things than that. And Acts 2 teaches me that the promise that was given to us, man, it's just the promise is Holy Spirit coming to our life. He said that promise is to you and to your children, to all those who are called, all those who are far off, people who are far off from the Lord. And we're going to mention those people today. And that's kind of where I am with this. And so this continuing right through chapter 4 of Ephesians, it'll be on screen. If you came in this morning, you should have received a worship guide from my hospitality team. And it's got notes in it. If you want to take notes there, it's fine. You can do that online as well. You go to our website. And if you click the QR code earlier, you go same place and find it in there. And then, but we're going to start doing some notes. Y'all ready for some notes today? Y'all ready for some word? Here we go. So if we're going to live life with the Spirit, we have to learn what life without the Spirit is. Life without the Spirit. Paul basically, that's the wrong, go ahead, Danny. See what I did? I put life before the Spirit and life without the Spirit. It's the same thing. Before Spirit comes into our life, it's life without Him. And there's only about one way to live in life without whose Spirit is in our life. And that is this. Paul says it this way. He says, live no longer as the Gentiles do. This Gentile word is cast around in Christian circles. But in this particular context, if you'll just think about it, as those who do not have the Spirit of Christ. It's that the Gentiles were non-Jewish people. But in his wording of this, and you'll see how it puts together as I read through it. Don't live like the people who don't have the Spirit live. The people who don't know Jesus live. The people who have God in their life. Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus are all one and the same. No matter how much we want to separate them, they're one. And for years, I could understand who God was. I figured Him as a Father God. We call Father. Jesus is okay to understand because Bible says He's my elder brother. He lived on this earth, so I can kind of relate to what He's. But this Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit thing was way out of my. It still is. I'm still learning who He is. He's not an it. He's a He. Really, if you look at it from the Greek standpoint, He's a spirit. Spirit doesn't have flesh and bones and as we have. So it's just Spirit. And when He is in our life, here's what He says. When He's out of your life, here's what He says. Paul says, for they are hopelessly confused. Hopelessly confused. You know anybody in your world hopelessly confused? Hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives. Because they have closed their minds, hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame, and they live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. If that doesn't sound like the people in our culture who are outside of who Jesus is, I don't know what Bible verse would describe them any better than that. Hey, and such were some of you. So hey, this is before Spirit came. Maybe that's why I put before at that point instead of without. Before He comes, this is our life. We're hopelessly confused, hard-hearted, rampant lust, things that we think we're going to control. It's like Micah said, we're not going to just wake up tomorrow and we're going to try harder. We're going to do better. We're going to muster up strength. You can't do it on your own. You just can't. And so give it up and give in to who God is in your life so that you can live on the other side of that, life renewed by the Spirit. Paul goes on to say that this whole idea of life being renewed in the Spirit, he says, but that isn't what you learned about Christ. Those words I just read with the lustful pleasures and the hard hearts and all those things, none of that is of Christ, he says, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him. So this idea of all this coming from Him, since you've learned all of that, he says to do something. The next verse says to throw off your old sinful nature. Don't some of you just wish you could just make it that easy, right? Just throw it off. How many of you times have you said, I will not do that ever again? You just fill in the blank with whatever you're ever. Whatever. I'm not doing that again. I'm not saying that again. I'm not talking like that again. I'm not looking at that again. I'm not gonna drink that again or smoke that again or eat that again. Whatever that again is for you, fill in the blank. How many times will we say that time and time and time again? But he says here to throw off the sinful nature, not just the one thing, but the nature that controls the whole thing. So it's deeper than just saying, I'm going to quit smoking. It's I'm going to get myself lined up with who Holy Spirit is in my life. When I line that up, then he's going to help me move forward in the rest of it. You'll see this how after it develops. Your old sinful self and your former way of life. How many of you know that the thing you used to do, you might slip up every now and again, but it's not your way of life anymore. You've walked away from it. You, by the power of God, have moved away from it. And it may not control you. And even when you slip up and you fall into it, your heart about it's way different than it used to be. You used to revel in falling. It was good, man. This is great. Yeah, I love it. This is the life. And now when you slip up and you fall, it's like, oh, my goodness. And I'll show you in a little bit exactly what you're doing when that happens and why you feel like you do. It's all about relationship. You know, I spoke to somebody earlier about the whole legalism of church, and it used to be I didn't want to sin because I thought God was going to kill me and send me to hell. And if you don't believe in Christ and you don't come to the knowledge of Jesus and who he is, hell will be your home one day. Hell's not for bad people, though. Hell's for people who decide to pay for their own sins. And there's a whole different view of that, when I say those sentences like that. It's not for bad people. It's people who say, I don't really want Jesus. I'll take care of it. I'm going to live it up here. I'll pay for it later. Jesus already paid for it if you want to accept it. That's the point of this gospel that we talk about all the time. This former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. He says, instead. Everybody say instead. So he's about to change gears. You're going to go from that life to this life. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Let the Spirit. Everybody say, let the Spirit. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. And I used to believe that the Spirit was only in the Word. So the more Word I had, the more good I could do and the more power I would have to do because I had Word inside of me. Now, let me ask you a question. Is the Word connected to the Spirit? Everybody do like this. It is. It is. But an atheist can know the Word. Only those who are spiritually minded can ascertain what the Spirit wants us to do. There's another hoax sermon right there, okay, later on. But this renewing our thoughts and attitudes. There is a process here. It's not a snap the fingers, say a prayer, get baptized, take communion, whatever you're going to do. You have to throw off those things by letting the Spirit come and renew your thoughts and attitudes. That means when you're ready to, instead of, Pastor Tim, the church I preached for last week, I watched some of his sermons before I got there because I want to see what he'd been talking about. And I love this phrase. He said, when somebody cuts you off in traffic, make sure you put all your fingers up when you wave at them. I thought that was hilarious, man. But by renewing the Spirit in your mind and your thoughts, it makes you go, hey, instead of the other. It changes the way in which you behave and react in life. If you are following after the leading of the Spirit. Because he says, throw those things off, and then the next word is put on. Everybody say put on. If you throw, God never wants you to throw things out without putting something back in. That's just the way it works. Put on, and if you don't, the devil will come back in. And Scripture says he teaches, he'll bring spirits worse than was already in you back to you if you let him do that. Let him do that. Put on your new nature. I'm looking at the clock, and I'm going, ain't no way. Y'all listen, I want to try to obey time or whatever, but the inspiration we had earlier with people coming out and praying and all that kind of stuff, I'm going to get my time if you guys are okay with that. I want to, children's ministry, I love you guys, but we may be here just a minute today, okay? So here's the thing. So listen, put on your new nature, created to be. Did you hear that? It means that the nature inside of the worst people you know, they have a nature inside of them that's created to be in tune with and in line with Holy Spirit, what God is wanting to do in their life. It's there. There is the seed. It just has to be released. We have to open up to be able to allow that to come in. And more I open up to this and more I open up to what God is trying to say, the more and more freedom I feel in my life. Do I sin? Absolutely. Absolutely. Do I fall? I'm going to. I'm human. I'm going to do that. But here's the thing. I don't have to do it. I don't have to do it anymore. Spirit needs to control what I'm doing. And the most frustrating thing, I'm getting ahead of myself. Y'all remember when I get there, if I say the frustrating thing again, y'all know we're coming back to it, okay? When you put on this new nature created to be like God, truly righteous and holy, God created us to be righteous and holy. He gave Adam and Eve a choice, and they chose wrong. They chose poorly. Some of y'all know what movie I'm referring to. They chose poorly, and they did. And the choice set a thing in motion that God already knew was coming. Before the foundations of the earth ever were created, he knew it was coming. But when they set that thing in motion, we have to have the nature that God created for us in the first place to be put back in there. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm working on several years of messing it up. And so don't think just for a minute that you're going to just magically, miraculously be like, okay, well, I'm not going to sin anymore. It is a process over time. It really is. And so, all right, so renewed thoughts, proper attitudes, righteous and holy are what we do, lived by the renewed spirit, renewed by the Spirit. So what are the results of this? The results of this, first, is a renewed nature. A renewed nature. Everybody say nature. You say the nature of yourself. It's when you say stuff like this, well, that's just the way I am. I'm just an extrovert. I just talk too much. I can't help it. Even though it gets me in trouble a lot. We pronounce things into our lives that we think that just because we are bent toward a certain thing that we can't change. And God is saying through the power of the Spirit, you can be completely renewed in your nature. Now, he's going to give a list here. It's going to bother some of you, and that's okay. Just be bothered by it, but just be changed by it. You see what I'm saying? So the renewed nature. The word, the passage starts with the word so. So. The word, little word so has a comma next to it. You go ahead and put that up, Danny, that next screen. The word so, it means therefore. Since we've said all of these things, he says, so stop telling lies. How do you quit telling lies? You stop telling lies. He just says that. I mean, it's not the Greek word for that is stop telling lies. So, let us tell our neighbors the truth, he says, for we are parts of the same body. He connects it right back to us being together as a group. So when you lie, that looks bad on me and the rest of us. When I lie, same thing. We're all part of the same body. He says, and don't sin by letting anger control you. There's the next one. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are angry. That is a principle. That is a life rule that's based upon a principle that if you continue to be angry, you're going to hurt yourself or somebody. Jesus said it like this in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, you say, love your neighbor and hate your enemies, but I say love your enemies. And he talks about anger, and he says, you say it's good not to murder. Yeah, do not murder. That's what the law says. But he says, I tell you, don't be angry. Because you don't murder people you're not angry at. You don't even want to. But murder starts as anger and frustration. Moving into a place you don't want to go. Anyway, back to here. Don't let sin anger. Don't let the sun go down on you when you're still angry. For anger gives a foothold. Everybody say foothold. A foothold to the devil. And every time I say that word foothold, I think of those mountain climbers, those crazy people that hang off of cliffs and stuff because it's there. I don't understand it. I don't get it. But you watch them climb up the side. There's nothing to hold on to, man. I'm like, what are you holding on to? Yeah, that all they need is a crevice. All they need is a place, just a little bit of spot to move to the next level. And that's what the devil needs in your life. And you see, this is the opposite of living in the Spirit. It's allowing the devil to do that. I'm going to get back to that in just a moment. So he goes on to say, if you're a thief, quit stealing. Simple. Quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for hard work. Do you hear how he's throw off, put back on? Do you hear that's in the text? Throw off, put back on. Throw off stealing. Instead of stealing, put in some good work. I've told people for years that I've caught stealing stuff and wanted to steal for whatever they're stealing for. So, man, if you spend as much time working as you do trying to learn how to steal or lie to somebody, you'd probably be a millionaire. Because they're not dumb people. They're just choosing to do the wrong thing outside of the Spirit of God. And then he goes on, he meddles a little bit further. Gives hard work and give generously to others who have need. He goes to the next thing. Don't use foul or abusive language. I've had people argue with me before that the Bible doesn't condemn cussing, that the Bible doesn't condemn foul language or whatever. Language changes over time. There are things that we say now, I can say in church right now, that it wouldn't bother y'all at least, that I wouldn't have said in high school to anybody. I probably would have. Just being real, man. I don't know what it is about cussing. I learned it so easily. It just came naturally. I can't say much more about that right now because Mama would be mad at me. And she might be listening this morning. I learned some of the best cuss words at home. And I knew when to say them. I wish I could tell you more stories. I just can't without getting really crazy, and I'm not going to do that. Don't use foul or abusive language. Why? Because that's of the flesh. That's the Gentile way. That is the non-following after spirit way. He says, he goes on to say, let everything you say be good and helpful, that your words be an encouragement to those who hear them. So he said, put off the language, put on the good language, put on encouragement, and It just works, man. Get rid of all bitterness, he says, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behaviors. Like he listed everything, and then he says all types. Just in case we miss one, all types. Why? What's the key thing in this passage? It's giving the devil an inch. You've seen the sign, right? The church sign. Give the devil an inch, he'll be your ruler. He will, and he wants to be. He wanted to be Jesus' ruler. And every time Jesus was tempted by him, he said, no, it is written. No, you're not going to tempt the Lord your God. No, it's not going to happen. And so many times I get to the, no, this ain't going to happen, way after I've already happened. We're giving the devil an edge. And here's what he'll say. He'll say, well, it's okay if you don't want to do that sin. You name the sin, whatever it is. He will give you a lesser sin to put in its way to get a foothold in, because he knows our nature. You can't just stop smoking cigarettes by going, I'm going to taper off. Some of you can do that probably. I guess whatever. I had to just quit. I had to go through the eating I chewed toothpicks and ate candy and just everything, because it was just a nervous habit that I had. He said, yeah, you got to replace it. But to say I want to taper, if I want to have one or whatever, I'm the same way with eating right now. I can't say that I'm going to have one thing per day that's bad for me. Because if I do, that one thing gives me an excuse to next Monday, which is tomorrow. And tomorrow is always the best day to start a diet. The thing is, the foothold, y'all, that was funnier to me than y'all. You see, here's the point. You're in control. You are in control of who you let rule in your life. And me too. I'm in control. And I give it away so often to so many different people and things. It's scary sometimes. What Micah said earlier really resonated with me. If you just knew all the things that I struggle with, if you just knew all the things that messed with me and got on me and bothered me, you probably wouldn't let me stand here and preach. But the problem, the answer to that is that all of us have got that kind of baggage. That was last time I preached. Well, actually, that was it. You go listen to Hopetown's message. That's where that was. And what we wind up doing is we compartmentalize stuff. I'm going to get to this a little bit later on. But we give God certain areas. Holy Spirit, you can come into this area, but I don't want you over here. And we take away. We say, well, I don't want that because I can't get rid of that just yet. So that leads to this. So when our spirits are renewed, we get this other blessing. And that's this. And that is, we get a spirit identity. A spirit identity. And here's the passage I said earlier that I was going to come back to, and just the reaction, why you feel the sense that you do. The more you fall in love with Holy Spirit, with Jesus, with God, with the I don't care how you word that, the more you fall in love with who he is and it becomes a relationship, the more parts of your life that will not be off limits to him. You want him there. You want him to see. You want to confess to him. He's your only hope, first of all. You don't want to do it. Here, Scripture says, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit. Most translations say grieve there. Do not grieve the Spirit. David felt that when he took Bathsheba, he killed Uriah. And if you don't know that story, it's in the Old Testament. But in Psalm 51, he says, cast not away your Holy Spirit from me. Renew and make me a clean heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That whole idea here is David knew that he had broken God's heart. And I think that's why David was called a man after God's own heart. He'd get mad at God. He'd say, "Where are you asleep? What's wrong? What, have you left me? Have you forsaken me?" And then the next phrase, it'll be like, oh, man, he's my refuge and my strength, my ever-present help in the time of need. I love reading the Psalms because I see myself in it all the time. It's like, oh, what is going on with this? You know? And then it's like, oh, there you are. It ebbs and flows. If you think for a moment, if you're not a believer and you're listening online or you're in the house and you're not a believer yet and you're thinking, oh, I'll just come to Jesus. Y'all say everything's going to work out. I don't know how many times I've said this, probably 100, I don't know, many, many times. It doesn't work like that at all. Without Spirit in our life, we're doomed. Remember, he says, he has identified you as his own. You are not your own. And God's given us relationships to illustrate this, like marriage relationship. We're not our own. When we enter into a covenant relationship, she belongs to me, I belong to her. And we're one. And that's the way it is. And you can use friendship that way as well. But right here he's saying, you're identified as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. And that's what we want, right? We want to be saved. You came here today looking for answers to the questions that you have, and I hope you find a few answers to your questions. But in our Western culture, we're taught to come to God, or come to church, or come to Bible, or come to a seminar, or to training, or whatever it is, and get the answers I need. Happens all the time on social media and Google and all the places you go and look for things. You're going to see advertisement always telling you that if you will just buy this product, your life will be so much better. So much better. Don't you love reviews? We used to not have reviews. We just see it on TV and go, whoa, I got to have that. We buy it. Now I go review it. And the first five people say it's no good, I'm out. And it's intriguing how our culture works. We're an instant gratification culture. Got to have it now. Got to have it now. And this has led to not being ruled by the Spirit of God. It's not in my notes. So, God, are you wanting me to say that? I'm going to say this. We are not ruled by the Spirit of God predominantly in our culture. We're ruled by the next best gadget or gizmo or idea or fad or whatever it is. We're enamored by it. And they know it. They know it. They know it. They sneak up behind you. Here I am. Buy this. Do that. And y'all, we so want the answers fast. I didn't want a cancer diagnosis, but I want a quick answer to it, right? I don't want to be overweight, but I'm not doing the right things to keep myself from doing that on a consistent basis, or I would be not overweight. Y'all see what I'm saying? These are choices, but we want it now. And the culture of instant gratification is killing our walk with the Spirit of God, and we need to stop it right now. Stop thinking that you're going to get the answer today. Pastor Keith or Micah or Brandon or whoever it is, the teachers back there are going to just tell you the magic thing. Take the pill, you're going to feel fine. Communion is really about that. If you look at communion, this is a thousands of years of remembering. It is a simple thing. We've made it this massive. We've made it about the it of communion. We've made it about, oh, we've got to do it right, and we've got to make sure we sip right and drink right and chew right and make sure it's unleavened and all these things. We go through all these rules to make sure we do it right, and we make communion about the it of it. Some of you will be bothered that you've got to get up out of your seat, come down here and receive, and go back and sit down. That's just the way we do it. There's no right or wrong thing, guys. The point of communion is Jesus said, do not forget. Please don't forget me. And every time you drink it, every time you eat of that bread, every time you do that, you are discerning the Lord's body all over again. You are going back through your whole life, and you're seeing where God worked. You're actually testifying to the world around us that we still believe and we will not forget. You guys know around this time of year, 4th of July, you're going to see videos on TV of 9/11. And some of you weren't even here then. I remember where I was standing the first time I saw that second plane fly into the tower. I'll never forget that moment. And you see all these videos. There's even country songs written about it. Don't forget. There are all kinds of things in our life that we don't want to forget, that we don't want to move past. Listen, Jesus' life, death, burial, resurrection is one of those things. And in Western culture, here's what we do. We do what gives us the greatest reward in the shortest amount of time in this life to the detriment of our growing in a relationship with God, which gives us the best life now. Not using the phrase of that guy, but it is the best life now. Living for Christ, it's the hardest, but it's the best. It's the most fulfilling. And then eternal life to come. It's the Sermon on the Mount. It's all these things Jesus is saying, that if you will live life in the Spirit, it's why when the disciples were told he had to go away and they all fretted and cried and, oh, you got to go away. Listen, I have to go away because I have to send Spirit so he will come and live with you. But we've compartmentalized it. We have church time. We have play time. We have work time. And how many of it, don't raise your hand, please. Don't punch your neighbor. How many of us have got this all out of whack, you say, in the South? We need it in whack, if there is such a thing. We have to. Freedom, we call it spiritual order. It's living with the Spirit and control of the soul and body. Until we get there, I promise you, your soul and body will vie for that position on top. And one of them will win if you don't allow the Spirit to come in and do that. Y'all, we become that which we practice. When I was a kid, we had church clothes, we had work clothes, and we had play clothes. And this is a crude illustration, but it helps me here, okay? And you didn't play in your church clothes. You didn't work in your play clothes. You didn't work in your church clothes. You didn't play in your work clothes. You didn't play in your church clothes. Some of y'all are shaking your head. Y'all remember that. It's less now in our culture because nowadays people wear all kinds of stuff to church. See, all of y'all in my day, most of y'all, you women wearing pants in my church was a sin for a long time. Y'all remember that, some of you, don't you? Mm-hmm. The churches still do all those kind of things. But here's the thing. Compartmentalizing that spilled over into our church time and our work time. And our play time. And how are those figuring out in your life? I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip. What I'm trying to get us to understand is Holy Spirit involves all of our time. If you don't go to work, be Holy Spirit worker. If you sweep floors for a living, sweep floors for Jesus, man. You're going to have the cleanest floor possible in that place. If you flush toilets and clean them in the name of the Lord. Please, in the men's room, clean them in the name of the Lord, all right? Come on. Spent 20 minutes doing toilet maintenance before I can use a bathroom. Come on, man. My thing is, whatever it is your hand finds to do, do it with all your might to the Lord. The Lord is doing this for Him. Your husband or wife, come on, y'all. Be the best spouse. Be the most centered, God-fearing, Spirit-filled, moving by what He says to do and don't do that you can possibly be. And that's for everybody. The whole church, we have church effort. We have church work effort, and we have play effort. Some of us give way lots of time to our play effort. We enjoy it too much, and we spend lots of time in our play effort. You can put any other thing in that. We compartmentalize ourselves to the detriment of our spiritual life. Our life in Christ is not meant to be relegated to a few hours per week, and we and our culture have missed it. And when I preach my discipleship series, y'all, when it's coming, I promise you, it's coming. If God lets me live long enough, hopefully not too long. But I'm growing so much. I'm watching what these guys did. They gave up everything for Jesus. And I'm not saying you got to sell your house and quit your job and move to the Congo somewhere. Just be you in the world led by Holy Spirit. Come on, man. This is not rocket science. It's just figuring out whether we want the emphasis on the right syllable or not. Some of y'all get that tomorrow about this time. Where are you emphasizing things? Where's our priorities? This is turning more into a priority thing. It's really turning into like a just be Spirit-led. You see, our life is not our own. I'm not going to incorporate Jesus into my life. I'm going to be transformed in my life by His strength. So we treat Romans 12 and 1, be transformed by the renewing of it. Don't be conformed to the world. I will not be conformed today. And we just fold our arms and we just muster up strength. And we go, I'll just not be conformed today. And the world just keeps stamping me out into its mold. But I have to stop. I love what Micah said earlier, too. This is all so driven by God today. I just, in prayer time beforehand, at the study time this week and all this, is this idea of, you know, just, I lost it. What did you say, Micah? Tell me again, brother, what you said. I'm sorry. The concept of us saying to God, you can be over here, but you can't be over there. Have you ever told an omnipresent being where he could be and couldn't be? Y'all, that's just dumb. Hide and seek with God never works. It never works. Transform our life by the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit, who Jesus left for us. And regardless of what you grew up being taught, Holy Spirit was left for us too. He just was. And sometimes I feel, I love my church I grew up in, but I feel so ripped off. You forced me into a way of living that I could not do. And it made me mad. As a kid, I was so mad at church. I was like, I can't do this. I can't do it. And that spilled over into my adult life. I mean, times I want to try to muster up my own strength. It don't work that way. It never works that way because I don't have the power to do it. Holy Spirit in me always has the power to do it. Always. 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 Every time. There is no excuse for us sinning other than us allowing the devil to have a greater foothold in us than the Holy Spirit. Now, that being said, again, it's not in your own strength. I hope you're hearing me the way I mean that. If you're not, please see me afterwards. I have run from legalistic Christianity for so long, and sometimes I tend to pendulum swing the other way. And this is hard preaching today for me. It's hard to preach. It's hard stuff. But I'm going to tell you, the more and more I allow Holy Spirit to do what I... Holy Spirit permeates. That was a word I wrote. You ever write a word in your word processor? You guys who word processor and word people? I wrote the word permeates, and I thought, that word don't say. What does that say to people, permeate? Well, you just right-click on it, and it gives you synonyms. So permeate is to infuse. Well, what's that? I don't even know what that means. It's to filter everything through. It is to flood you. Holy Spirit needs to flood our lives. He needs to saturate my life. I want every corner of my life to have Holy Spirit in it, even the places I don't really like for him to be. And the scripture uses this picture of overshadowing us, that we are overshadowed or covered in the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, covered by him. If you're an Old Testament buff and you remember the tabernacle and the cloud that fell on the tabernacle, scripture says they couldn't even see, get in. I mean, it's so thick with that cloud. And when the cloud would get up and move, what'd they do? All right, time to tear the tent down. Let's follow the cloud. And they'd go where the cloud went. I mean, people all around them thought they were crazy. I mean, you're following a cloud? Well, sometimes it's fire, okay? You see, the tabernacle was a picture of that. Psalm 91 says that God will cover you with his wings. That's the most beautiful picture to me in scripture of God's love for me. Is Jesus said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I preached that. The whole idea of I would have covered you in the wings like a chicken, a hen gathers her chickens on her wings, but you wouldn't do it. When Mary, Holy Spirit, the angel shows up to Mary, and he says, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you, and you're going to conceive a son. And she goes, how could this be? That was pre-Rhema. So, how can this be? And he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of God will overshadow you. And she said, let it be as you've said. Mary, what a beautiful, beautiful person in Scripture. The transfiguration, the Bible says the cloud that came down and treasured. If you don't know what these are, please go study these words. I want you to see these stories. The cloud overshadowed them. The Bible says they were scared to death. Can you imagine going up on a mountain with a friend and two people that have been dead a long time just show up? I always find it intriguing that they knew who Elijah and Moses were. Where's Elijah and Moses? Yeah, Molly's going, yeah. I'm like, how'd they know? I mean, if Jesus looks like he does on all the movies and stuff we see, we might recognize him, but I don't know. But they knew. And the first thing they said, Peter said, let's build some monuments. That's what the Jews did. Every time something big happened in their life, they put up a pile of rocks next to it. You know why? Remember. 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 Don't forget it. We use pictures and stuff. Big things in our lives. You know, take a picture of the newborn and, you know, 15 years down the road or 16 when they're driving, you pull those out and throw them on the screen at a birthday party. You embarrass the kids with all that stuff. That we remember those things. You don't want to forget. Holy Spirit's overshadowing is a transformative process. Let me say this another way. Holy Spirit's coming into us and overshadowing us transforms our lives. We have to allow that to happen. Not just part of our lives, not just here and there, but He works in every part. It's a life lived for Jesus. And the only way you can live a life for Jesus is through the power of the Spirit that He left for us, that He promised us at baptism. He promises to fill all the time. People were baptized, but they were filled with the Holy Spirit lots of times in Scripture. Oh, man. Here's the truth I'll end with. You and I will give time and effort to whatever spirit, put that in quotes, if you want to make that capital S spirit good, we will give time and effort to the spirit to whom or for whom we give allegiance. Where your allegiance is. What is the verse that just came in my head? Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. See how God does that? I'm amazed. I'm amazed. I used to wonder how in the world will I ever be able to preach and remember verses and stuff, and don't have to. Just read and study and practice and over and over and over again, and all of a sudden you'll just be preaching and talking to somebody and words just comes out. It just does. It just does. But you've got to imbibe Him. You've got to put Him in. What is it? Next chapter, maybe next sermon is be drunk of the Spirit, because He says be drunk with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine. Be drunk with the Holy Spirit. And every time I see somebody filled with Spirit and Scripture, something comes out of their mouth. They start talking. They start prophesying. They start speaking in tongues. They start singing. They start talking to people. They share. And it just comes out that way. Y'all know you talk about the things that are important to you, right? I think that's part of the connection with that. Father, this morning, as we stand, Father, everybody stand with me, Father. This morning, as we stand together, and we're so ready right now, Lord, to just receive You in whatever way that we need to. Father, whether it's by faith for the first time to understand that You are, that Jesus is Lord, and we want to bring Him into our life and to just begin to make Him the Lord of our life, Lord, whether we take the step of baptism or whatever step it is that we need to take, Lord, we're so ready right now. Not because Keith Davis said anything, because God, Your Word says it. That we can't exist without Holy Spirit. God, I can't even, I tell You every day, and You know, and we all talk about this all the time, I can't do one thing without You, Lord. I can't take a step without You. Not a step. Not even really faith, because God, You give faith. You make it so readily available this morning, right now, in this moment. Father, we receive. If you mean that in a heart, just open your hands straight up to the, open your palms up and just say, I receive. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us, radiate in our life. God, I'm not afraid. Used to be, not anymore. Not afraid. My only fear is to You. I fear You as my Father, my God, my King. I have no fear what You're going to do in my life. So God, right now, for those of us that may be in this room or listening online that are afraid of what might happen, Lord, take us away from our comfort zone. Lord, put us wherever You would have us to be. Father, as we continue this worship time, Lord, right now, this time of communion and prayer and outreach and whatever this looks like, whatever this is supposed to be, God, we, as we move, God, and we come and we receive communion, Father, help us to see, to picture, to remember what Jesus did, His perfect life, His death on the cross, 6 hours there. Can't imagine. You did that for us, Lord. And thankful is not even a good enough word anymore. It's just, there's just so many thankfuls, a million thankfuls to You. Grateful. As Todd said earlier, we just contemplate who You are in our life, Lord, and how that we can't take any steps without You. And I pray this morning as we come and receive communion, we'll remember the death, burial, and resurrection, that coming out of the grave, Lord, that Sunday, that time, that morning when they went to look in the tomb and He was just gone. God, we are so grateful. We revel in that joy. That is the basis of all that we are in our walk with you. And so, God, thank you. Thank you that we got to experience that. And not only got to, but we'll get to one day, receive and experience the same resurrection. Coming out of the grave to go be with and to live with you. And Father, in the meantime, it is our promise by receiving communion today that we will never, ever, ever forget. Praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, and all who agree, say amen. Some of our guys are going to walk down. I think they're going to try to do this a little more guided than usual. We'll see how this works. But you guys, go ahead. The prayer team, come on, prayer team. Where are you guys? I need you up here. Prayer team is going to be up here. If you want to receive communion, go right over and be prayed for. If you just need to go pray for whatever it is. One of the things I want to say about our communion, too, as you're moving forward is don't say, well, I'm not worthy of communion, because you're not. None of us are. We're not worthy to sit at his table, but Jesus said, come to my table. He always invited the worst of the people in his day. So it's not about your worthiness. It's about his. So come and receive. This bread is bread. This grape juice is grape juice, but it represents who Jesus is in our life and a remembrance to him forever. So come. We're going to sing as you do this.
Risen. Oh, what a, oh.
Bask in the quietness a moment. Just to... So appreciate these moments. This is the life, man. This is what it's all about. I just want you guys to know how much I love you. You guys who are guests with us, we honor to have you. It's so good to be together, to receive this today, and to be able to walk out of here knowing the breath of God has breathed on us. Yep. Yes. You need to receive. We need to receive that and move in it every part of our life. I love you guys. I hope that you have an incredible, incredible day and a beautiful, wonderful week celebrating the independence of our country, but more than that, independence we have in Jesus. Come on, y'all. We need to revel in that. Can we give him a hand clap of praise before we go? Come on, y'all. Give him some good. Come on. Lift him up. I love you guys. Y'all go with God. Have a wonderful day.